sing a little chorus together. Always appreciate the welcome. Started raining all of a sudden, and I'm glad to know that the last month of winter's gone. I think about the 21st of this month is equinox, and the beginning of spring. But anyway, the winter months are now gone. Still moving along on the building down here pretty well. I think tomorrow they start working on their king rafters for the tower part. Brother Danny Gonzalez called just before we come to church. Send his best wishes toward the brotherhood. And won't know when he's coming down. And David talked to him for a while about the little field that we're planting down there. The people about doing something in the area. I'd also like to mention this to Brother Cartridge that Bob Wilkerson called today from Chattanooga. He's bought a radio station in that area. We've been on some stations that Bob had. I think we used to be on about 50 to 75 radio stations at one time. But anyway, he was wanting us to go on his station. I told him we'd try it for a few programs. And I think my wife got on there and he wrote it up for a year. But anyway, he asked me if I'd UPS, is it? Some radio tapes there so they could have them for Monday to start the program on a Monday. So I asked Brother Carter to be willing to be kind of mild with him and put something on there kind of mild. He's got quite a lineup of speakers and might be good if he just kind of easy. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor.
We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. Open my heart, I can believe. We'll overcome someday. Can you sing with me? Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold someday. Reopen my heart, I can believe. We'll walk on streets of gold someday. Sing it with me now. For we will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. Reopen my heart, I can believe. We'll overcome. Sing it one more time with me. I'm going to shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. Reopen my heart, I can believe. I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. Sing with me. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Rip in my heart, I can believe. Will, I want you to sing that with me again. Think about that now. Believe it. We will overcome. Now, if thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're planning to make it into the kingdom of God, don't let there be found within you an evil heart of unbelief. Abraham was the friend of God because he believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. So we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Breath in my heart, I can believe we'll over. One more time. Gonna walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold someday. Breath in my heart, I can believe I'll walk on the streets of gold. Some sing it one more time. We will overcome. We will overcome. We will overcome someday. Rep in my heart, I can believe we'll overcome someday. Overcame at Calvary. We overcame at Calvary. We overcame that day. So deep in my heart, friend, I do believe I'll walk on streets of gold someday. Oh, we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. Breath in my heart, I can believe we'll overcome someday. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. We'll overcome. Someday we'll overcome. You can be seated. Revelation, the fourth chapter, we've talked to you about this a number of times, and we usually take a different route or theme of thought each time we go to it, because these scriptures that we have reference to, a lot of times we just barely touch them, but they have such great, profound significance as the hour in which we live. First of all, things have happened the way that the Lord told me it would happen. It has happened exactly to the T, right down through the years. Even to this very present moment, it is still transpiring and happening the very way that He said it would happen. And very few people are getting it. I know that my people here are getting a lot of things. They're coming into a lot of things. I know that they are because I talk with them, and their eyes are opening to a lot of things. But still, I contend that you still really haven't seen yet. It is a fact that just receiving revelation and receiving great things and seeing great things don't mean that you understand. It means that you do understand those things that you see, and you're understanding wonderful things. And it does mean you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, where the Bible commands us to grow in the grace and knowledge unto the full measure of the full stature of the full reward. That's what God wants. Giving our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, without reservation of heart. And in this, I know that you're growing and seeing great things. But folks, when you really come to see the revelation, what it's about as to what we refer to a lot of times, the mystery of the revelation that's been secret from the foundation of the world. When you understand the revelation and what the revelation is and what it's about, how it got started back in the days of Paul there at Calvary,
And when you begin to understand what the significance of this great, wonderful thing is and what it really is, if you can just, you know, I try to project it to you in such a way that you can grasp what I'm saying, but when it becomes an open door to where you can look through and really see the other world, you're looking through, you found the door, and you're looking through it into another world, and you say, oh my God, my God, my God, and this is at hand, and this is here, and Lord, this has been here all the time, and yet never been revealed or exposed from the foundation of the world. And now we're beholding things that great men desired to see and never was privileged to know them. So when we try to project this to you as to the door that is open in heaven, Revelation 4, and John said, and I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And when we try to project this to you, it takes many hours of talking, precisionally speaking, as the Spirit of God gives utterance in a great precision of placing every part as in detail into the puzzle to where you can grasp or know or see or understand what is being said by God. So then great is the mystery of godliness. The Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The other night we was trying to bring out a little something concerning this, and we got down to the benefits of Calvary as not being able to sin. And then, of course, I couldn't get any farther because you just kind of begin to close up on me. And a lot of times Satan causes that because the way he feels is that I want to know, he says, these wonderful freedom of benefits. I want to know this grace that's given because he is also under the blood covering to the extent that he's inside of human beings, and human beings have the blood covering doing the grace dispensation as to dispensational grace. And he wants to know all about the benefits of this great, wonderful thing, because the more he knows, the more he understands, the bolder he is and the greater he is in his thrust for world conquest and setting up his kingdom and controlling it and perverting the minds of the people to grace to the extent of bringing them into disgrace by offering to them grace by quoting to them the word the same way that he quoted it to the Lord Jesus. So then he puts the brakes on with your intellectual mind about the time that we get to the benefits of it to really bring it out. And others grab this and they run with it and they really cause a problem. So then when we come to this, you know, I don't have a chance to detail and to bring in the thing that I need to bring in. So I try every once in a while to sporadically say a few little things here and there in kind of a spastic sort of a way to where you can record it in your mind and realize that there's more to it than what you think, and there's more to it than what you're seeing and receiving. First of all, there is more than one approach to faith. Now, when I was dealing with faith the other night as to the faith of God, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself through a human body, in that God is a spirit, not imputing their trespasses unto them, I was trying to project to you that though you have grace by Calvary, and though your sins are gone, and though you cannot sin as transgressing against the great, mighty Holy Ghost, which is God himself, that's taken care of because there is a blood atonement, an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who gave his blood between God, the great eternal spirit, and you. With this, it means that you cannot sin. But folks, we don't want to get the idea that that means that we don't ever sin or do anything wrong or transgress against God because we blunder just like all the rest of the world, and we in constant transgression in the sense of stumbling and staggering and doing wrong and not perfecting our ways. And we as of yet have never given even a reasonable service to God,
To give your body a living sacrifice is only a reasonable service, and you've never obtained into that as of yet. So then, to get to the part, to let you know that there's a differentiating between the faith of God by which thou art sanctified unto a perfection in Christ, a difference between that faith and your faith, of that faltering faith by which you receive of God as to the measures according to your believing. Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. To differentiate between these two things and then bring the thing to the people in such a way that it is a benefit to them and not tripping them up and misleading them is a great, great task of mine, to be able to grasp and understand and to know what you're telling people and the way that you're tutoring people. So as I said the other night, things closed up and we didn't get to go into it. But be it known unto you that people in the church are constantly in violation and transgressions of the ways of God and the desires of God. And it isn't that they don't make mistakes and don't stumble and don't do those things that is the displeasure of God. The only thing is that God did not impute their trespasses. He was in Christ not imputing their trespasses unto them. It wasn't like they didn't have any trespasses, but he didn't impute the trespasses unto them. But that did not do away with the fact that we're supposed to ask God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the Bible said if we forgive not men their trespasses from our heart, then God will not forgive our trespasses. So then his eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro in the earth, beholding the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. So then it was very grievous to me when I couldn't get over to that, because I saw what Satan was doing. And I have people here that are they're so hungry for the revelation and so sure that they've got an inclination to this, that when something comes favorable toward what they think, then they grab it like that. And then they go with it and they get to feeling strong and big and mighty to tell the people these things when they're only perverting the minds of the people and misleading the minds of the people and will lead them into total chaos. When we come to these things, I tried to detail them and I don't have a chance to do it, so I just kind of sporadically run by them like I'm doing tonight, as to remind you that there's some things that when you think you know something, that you don't know something as you ought to know. And that is that you should give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. Listen, any time you should let them slip, and you should take heed how that you hear them, because Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, and he is twisting up things that's coming to your listening ear to make sure that you don't understand this in a clever sort of a way. Well, anyway, this is what we're saying tonight. We've got to realize that it's according to our faith. It's according to our faith. Jesus made that real plain. Not according to God's faith, but according to our faith. So be it unto you. And that faith is a sporadic. It is a faith that has broken intervals. It is something that you have to have works behind before you can truthfully believe from your heart. Now, you can make believe, and you can say all you want to, I believe, bless God, I believe, somebody says. It don't amount to a hill of beans. But when you do the things that please God through works of righteousness, then you assure your heart and you convince your heart. Because the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And from your childhood, it has the spirit of foolishness in it. And even a child has to be corrected by a rod of correction until it comes to the knowledge of the truth where God can correct it. So then, when it comes to what you're going to receive, you're going to receive it according to your faith. And your faith is going to have some works. When they said, and what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, I am the works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. Names wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was. It's a work of foreknowledge. And God is trying to bring this foreknowledge to you that belong to Him, to reveal it to you proportionally from faith to faith, inspiration to inspiration, from measure to measure, till He brings you to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to the full reward. And it's up to you to make this life manifest in your mortal genes. It's up to you to subdue this body and conquer this body and bring it to the place to where you wit the redemption of your body. So then I say, I've got to comprehend the heights. I've got to comprehend the depths. I've got to comprehend the length of this great, mighty thing. And then I say, well, my forerunner, even the Lord Jesus, here He comprehended the depths by going down to the deepest place of despair, down to the bottomless pit, down to the bottom, into the chambers of hell itself. And there were the sufferings, as we're made to know joy from sorrow, and we're made to know sweet from bitter. Then He began to fathom life. He began to grasp, He began to comprehend the depths as to the expression of life, or God expressing Himself in the form of life, having to go through those things. As Paul said, with the mind of suffering, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, been made conformable unto His death, that I might know Him in the power of the resurrection. That is, in the expression of life to the extent of resurrection from the dead. So then I comprehend the depths through my suffering and through the problem, equipping myself with a mind to suffer, not drawing back, lest Zion travail, she doesn't bring forth her children. And this body must travail. It must have septenile. It must travail. If there is no travail in you, there will be no child formed in you, because there's no conception and there's no birth. You've got to travail. The fact that you travail proves that there is a conception, proves that Christ is being formed in your life, because He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And Paul said, in my heart there is continual sorrow. So then He comprehended the depths. And He comprehended the depths, as we say, to the expression of life. And then He comprehended the width. The width, when we say comprehending the width, we're talking about the volume of a thing. This great, wonderful volume, He comprehended it to the fullness, even as He comprehended the depths to the fullness and fathomed as going down to the very bottom of their depths. Then He comprehended the width as to the volume, because He was the fullness of God. He wasn't God by measure, but He was the fullness of God, and He comprehended the widths of it. And then He comprehended the great mighty heights of it as He ascended into heaven and sat down on the throne with God, comprehending the expression of life in the depths and the expression of life in the width, and comprehending the expression of life in the heights. And then He comprehended the expression of life in the length. That is, He became one with God that was from everlasting to everlasting, and before the world was, He was, and He is forever. He was, He is, and shall be. So then we're to comprehend the same thing. We're to go through this and comprehend this wonderful, great mystery of God as to the expression of life, because the comprehending as to the transformating of mind is the witting of the redemption of the body, and it is taking hold of the expression of life. If we don't do that, we can't comprehend the full expression of God and life, and our measure is so minute. So it's like a little baby. A little baby, it has life just as much as you have life, but it doesn't know anything about life. It can't enjoy life because it doesn't know anything about life. But through its growth and maturity, it begins to comprehend the expression of life as it learns and as it matures in its understanding. And then after a while, it can become a millionaire, it can become a billionaire, it can become a king or a queen or some great thing, to where it has boats and planes and ships and servants and money and just a paradise, the whole world, the full expression of life in the natural comes to it, because it has comprehended life in the fullness. And this is what God is wanting to do to us, trying to bring us to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then, having wrought this in the Spirit as to the inner man, having done this by faith of Jesus Christ, Paul made it real plain, I am a sinner. I have lost my life through sin. And through the fall of the first man Adam, as being born of the first man Adam, I am dead in trespasses and sin. Now I am looking to the Lord Jesus to deliver me from the body of this death, for it has the sentence of death in it. And now I'm looking to the Lord Jesus to deliver me by what he did. And Paul said, therefore, being dead because of my sins, now I live again through the resurrection of Christ. I have been baptized into his death. I have put on Christ. And it's not me living, but Christ. And the life I now live in my flesh, he said, making this life manifest in my mortal genes, the life I now live in this body or in my flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God. That is, his faith wrought something. His faith pleased God. His faith took hold of another life, great life, extended life. And now he has given this life to me by the faith of Christ. As Christ wrought it by his faith, then I'm heir to it through the sacrifice of the Son of God. And now I'm making this life manifest in my flesh. So he said, the life I now live in my flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the faith of Jesus Christ, which is called the righteousness of God. This means that there is an expression of life that is given to the church. It is an expression of life that is called abundant life, which means filled up and overflowing. And Jesus, being heir to this and comprehending the fullness of it, he came and stood before them and said, I am come that ye might have life. I am the Prince of Life. I am the master of life. I own life. It belongs to me to do what I will with it. I am the fullness of life, and I will that you have abundant life. I will that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I want you to have a filled up, overflowing life. Like David said, my cup runneth over. He was a king. He had all the riches and all the treasures. He had his way in everything. And people feared the sword of David because he'd run through a troop, he'd leap over a wall. He had such courage, such faith in his heart that you couldn't stop him when he felt to go to battle. He went to battle in the name of the Lord. Like Joshua said, don't send me up to battle, lest thy presence go before me. The Bible said in the power of the conquest of the Canaan land that no man had ever got God to hearken to his voice the way that Joshua did, to command the sun and to command the moon. So when we see these great champions of what they did, all because of faith, Abraham never questioned God. When God said, take thy son Abraham, take him over into the land of Moriah, and a mountain there I will show you as to where to sacrifice your son. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He never counseled with his wife. He never counseled with the elders. He never said, I misunderstood God, or I better see what's going on. He's wanting the life of my son. I've got to do something about this. I got to pray about this. He just got up and he said, I'll do what God said. And he went straight over with confidence and faith in such a way that God said, Abraham is my friend. I'll make him the father of the faithful, because he didn't withhold even his own son. So being a symbol of God who did not withhold his own son for us, but so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, God sought a man like Abraham that would be after his own heart, even as David was, that would not hold back the only son that he had. Faith, and how powerful faith is. But this faith that I'm speaking of is the faith of the man and the faith of the woman. This is not the faith that Jesus spoke of, where Paul said in his writings, this faith that needs no works. Or that is to say, Jesus Christ said, I am the works, when they said, what must I do to work the works of God? See, this faith needs no works. Christ is the works, and it was finished from the foundation of the world. But when it comes to your faith, then James tells us in his writings, we need some works. And our faith without works is dead. That you can make believe all you want to in your head, but nothing is going to happen. But when you do the things that please God, then you confident the heart, assure the heart that God hears you. And then you have the desire of your heart. So then the Bible said Enoch, before his translation, had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because it's by faith that God sanctifies the heart to have fellowship with us. And then when it spoke of Jesus, he said, I do always the things that please my Father. So then John said, doing the things that please God, then do we assure our heart. When we have the spirit of holiness, we do works of holiness, having our fruits under holiness, then we have the end thereof, everlasting life. So when we come to this, we put our works with our faith, and then we see how that by works faith is made perfect. Faith is therefore imperfect. Your faith and my faith is imperfect without works. And the writer said, show me your faith without your works, which you can't do that. You know, say, I believe. Believe in what? What are you doing? I don't know what you're saying. I can't see what you're doing. Believing. You believe in what? He said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Watch what I do, because this is what I believe. And you'll see my faith manifested as I do what I believe in. And then you can see that faith with works and works with faith is made perfect. That is to say, faith is dead without works and works is dead without faith. So one as the body without the spirit, so the spirit without the body, the other is dead. They must be together. Therefore, my faith I take from God. I reach up into the archive of God, or I reach up into the storehouse of God, which is Calvary, that has been appropriated for my benefit, the fullness of it. I reach up and I get whatever I want, like a man dipping the honey out of the hive. I reach and get me a handful of honey, as we say. And I get according to the measure of what I can grasp within my hand. According to my faith, so be it unto me. And Jesus always in his preaching, he would say, according to your faith. They would say, Lord, heal my eyes. Lord, do something for me. Lord, heal me. I'm crippled. And he would say, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they'd say, I believe that you're able to do this. And Lord, you can heal me if you will. He would say, I will that thou be well. I will that you be healed. It's my will. It's my will to heal you. It's my will to heal everybody. You know, he could have said, it's my will. Whereas, again, the question arises, if it is his will, why then does he not heal everybody? Well, the same thing applies that has been said, it is his will to save everybody. Is it not his will to save everybody? He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I'd rather see the wicked repent. I'd like to see all men come to repentance and have everlasting life. But then is everybody saved? No. So then it's his will, but they're not saved. It's because of them, their faith and their believing. And it's the same way with healing. It's his will that everybody be healed. Everybody be healed. Not wait to be healed, but be healed right now. It is his will above all things that you be in health and prospered, even as your soul prospered. He wants you to prosper right now. He wants soul prospering right now. He wants you to be saved right now is the accepted time, not to wait. But it's our procrastination, sin come through man, not by God. Death come through man, not by God. Poverty and heartaches come through man, not by God. So then we're the ones that cause the problems as man because of allowing Satan to live in the body and not taking the mind of God and eradicating the infiltration or the impurities of the body to redeem the body to put Satan out of commission. We're very slow to believe. Jesus said, slow of heart, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. All right, now, so when we look at this, we realize that as Israel is the dispersed and the lost tribes, like going down into Assyria back during the early days when Judah and the 10 tribes split up. See, they were lost among the Assyrians, and even until today, they're not fully recovered. We are the same as spiritual Israel. We're lost among the Gentiles. We're people that don't belong to the beast world. We fell into the beast world through the act of the beast in the garden, and we are in a world that belongs to the beast. And some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And Satan is the god. He's the king of this jungle. And it's through this wilderness that we're passing through, from the Red Sea of the blood atonement of Calvary, through this wilderness of intellectual wandering to find the laws of God and to come to the Jordan of death, as to cross over this carnal mind into the land of Canaan, as to the promised land, and that God has given us great and mighty promises whereby we are partakers of all things that pertain unto life. So then in this, we see that being lost among the people, he has sent shepherds to seek them out. He has sent people, and we go about throughout the world calling them out of the wilderness and calling them out from among the beasts. And we go through the wilderness teaching them and leading them, trying to bring them to God. And everyone that hears his voice is his sheep. Many people hear the preacher, but they don't hear the voice of God through the preacher. So they are not his sheep. But those that are his sheep, they're lost out there among those people and among the beasts, but they hear that voice. And then they begin to draw in and come to God. And so then world evangelism continues on, whether it be by one means or another. So we see then that there is something that God has done that has dealt unto us a measure of faith. For God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. But the Bible says all men have not faith. So there is a measure of faith for every man as to his faith being by measure. But when it comes to a faith, whereas not all men have this faith, it is the faith of Jesus Christ. Where the Bible said, contend for this faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Paul, turned my people from darkness unto light, unto the faith which is within me, by which they are sanctified. All men have not this faith, for this is the faith unto salvation. So we know then that whatever we get is by measure of our faith. And we know that that measure of faith is dead without the thrust of effort behind it as to works of righteousness. And that whatever our measure is, we can make believe from now on, nothing is going to happen. But folks, if we want to establish a work for God, if we want to establish a thing for God, or a ministry for Christ, or a life of God to where we can be a light to the world, then we're going to have works of righteousness. So let your light shine that men may see your good works. And when it says light, it means your understanding as to your expression and these things that you say. Let it be a beaming light as you speak it. And by doing the works of God, thus the light shines as a lighthouse for those that are out on the sea of life that are tossed to and fro and about to crash up. So then the contrary winds blowing, the lighthouse just stays there. And eventually the ship finds the light and finds its way back to shore. This means that with our measure of faith, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And folks, this is just kind of scratching the surface just a little bit tonight, as to give just a little bit of milk of the word, whereby we can learn that we need to believe God and we need to practice holiness and practice righteousness. We need to perfect holiness in the fear of God, going on to perfection, not to perfection as that of what God's already perfected by his faith in the finished works of Christ. That's already in our heart. We're already translated into the kingdom. We're already sealed in. And the proof of that is that it's manifested in our body as a work of righteousness, as a nature of Christ, to subdue this body and bring it into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even every thought, that is the proof that we are a son of God and that the kingdom is within us and the nature is there, that we are about our Father's business, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And where's the ministry? We're here for the perfecting of your faith, to bring you these things that you might believe in what we say. to the full measure.
So then we are transforming in mind according to our growth of the grace and knowledge of Jesus. For I am what I am by the grace of God. Not but what I can do, but what He made me in Christ. But it is manifested from within me into my membership, that the world may see my measure and my good works to know. And that is what I am titled to. And that is what I'm titled by. And that is what I'm entitled to as far as my measure of growing in the grace and knowledge. What I can make manifest, then that's what I am. For the child is known by his doings and not by what he says. So then we see that there is something beautiful that's happened as to the measure of God's word and the measure of faith. And we could go on into some things tonight that I would really like to get into as to the open door of the great mystery of God. But the thing is, as to just a few little things tonight to exhort you that you might contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, which faith was a reference back to Joshua's faith. When Peter said, contend for the faith that the saints, that is to say Joshua and Abraham, one time had. Today we say contend for the faith that Peter and them once had. But they were saying contend for the faith that made the sun to stand still, that opened the Red Sea and rolled back the waters of the Jordan, that made the fire on the mount and the mountain shook with fire. Contend for the faith of Moses that turned Egypt into an ash heap and devastated the entirety of Egypt to bring deliverance to the children of God. Contend for that great faith of Abraham. Well, let's stand together. We could go on and go on, but these few little things tonight and exhorting you that you might think this over and remember that it's according to your faith. Always, Jesus said, according to your believing. I've made it all possible, but it's according to your believing. Whatever your efforts are to perfect your faith, it's according to your believing. If you want to exercise your faith to go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ, then you can do it. If you want to adopt your faith by just playing around a little bit here and there, you can do it. Our vines have tender grapes, and the little foxes love the tender grapes, and they spoil our vines. So then the little things keep you back from God. And the Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and has kept thee back from good things, great and mighty things. For he hath given us all things that pertain unto life. And he said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely, because they are freely given. It's not a partial thing with God. They are freely given to you, and you can have all things through faith, but it's according to your faith. So be it unto you. Well, let's sing a little chorus together tonight. Spend just a little time in worship. And remember, if you want to live forever, it's according to your faith. If you want to be in the resurrection, according to your faith. If you want divine deliverance, according to your faith. If you want to prosper and be in health, according to your faith. Not your make-believe, but your faith. And faith comes from the heart. With the heart, man believeth. That is faith. Intellectual reasoning is not faith. But faith cometh from the heart. I know that while we're in this dispensation of dispensational grace, where the Spirit is poured out upon the terror, there's many men that's making a show out of this on TV, under the tents, and in world evangelism, and things is happening because the rain is upon the unjust, and God's blessing is on the evil at this time. As long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, it's on those that are evil as well as those that are good. He maketh his rain to shine upon the evil and the good. And they're taking full advantage as Satan does certain things through this intellectual reasoning and this intellectual thrust of will worship and what appears to be faith. But it's not faith. Some are receiving this
as to faith, because they're inspired at words. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention, for show, or whatever it might be, nevertheless, I hear and rejoice because the word of God is still being spoken of and given to the people. But they'll have to answer to God for all these things. That's between them and God. The thing is, we have to go on to perfection. We're sons of God, and it was like I was telling somebody today, people in colleges and schools, they give their whole life, day and night. People who work on jobs work every day, a lot of times in extra hours for the benefits of the flesh. And they give their whole mind and life to television and to sports pages and reading magazines and books. And when it comes to God, the great, wonderful knowledge of God now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. They act like they're just trying to get a little ice cream cone and a few bites, and they're busy, and they can't stay long, and they can't listen long, and they grab it, and they want to go with it. Folks, you'll never get it that way. Never get it that way. This is a great, mighty mystery. This is a great, mighty thing. This is something that requires a lifestyle. It requires your very life, your efforts and your works and your mind to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy strength, all of thy mind, then to love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, as to the harshness of the ministry and the gospel, and as to the danger of losing the soul, he said it's better to enter into life, speaking of this life, it's better to enter into life with one eye missing and with one arm missing than to enter into life with both eyes and both arms. It's better to enter into life with one eye than to be cast into hell fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It is better that you have a mutilated body of missing members than to go into hell with all of your members and have to suffer in the flames of hell, to where the body which is called the worm never dies, is a living torture and torment, a living death. Thy worm, Jacob, the Lord said, speaking of the body, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. God himself said that in the human body of Jesus while he was reconciling the world back to himself. It is better not to have both eyes if you're going into hell as to having one eye or being partial in membership. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling,
Oh, do not pass me by. Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. While kneeling there in deep contrition, Lord, help my unbelief. The altars are open. Oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? Run while on others thou art calling. Oh, do not pass. Can you sing it again? Oh, Savior. Won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not
Let's lift our hands up and sing this little chorus together. Come.
Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing with me now. Go and leave it there. You can leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave up there one more time together. Go and leave them there. Can you lift your hand to the Lord and close your eyes? Leave it there. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave. Listen to this one more time, y'all. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along Omega Fair, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave. Sing it with me now. Leave it there.